All right, you guys, happy Monday. Erica Kirk, man, that she really is just the moment. The speech that she gave, everybody was just wowed by her. I felt my energy personally, like last night going into that, I was effectively like soaring in the air above the convention center, like a dragon above, waiting for Erica to just be like, fire. And I was just going to come down and swoop in out of nowhere. All the politicians, all the fake people, everyone was just going to be in that moment toast. But she didn't call for war. Erica did not call for war. In fact, she did the exact opposite, which is what was so stunning. It was unbelievable. The forgiveness that she granted, the strength that it took for her to call for that forgiveness, it's just unmatched and it really made a difference. And I was being serious when I tweeted that I think it was the most consequential speech in American history, a message that everyone needed to hear, including myself, a message of complete submission to Christ. And by the way, later on, we're also going to discuss another kind of submission to Christ, which is submitting yourself to truth. Cash Patel has now come out and issued a statement fully capitulating to the public insistence that they're lying to us. They are so clearly lying to us about what happened on the day that Charlie Kirk lost his life. Nothing they've told us thus far makes any sense, and somehow it's only getting worse. So welcome back. Let's jump right into this. I have to say, any woman that can get on stage and meaningfully say that they forgive the person who killed their husband that quickly, you are truly a better person than me, because I've just been so angry and so angry. And yet she was able to, through tears, and obviously you could tell how difficult that moment was for her, but she arrived at forgiveness and she did it in front of the entire world. And I think that every single person should watch that speech. Truly, they should watch that speech. They should watch Tucker Carlson's speech. I don't think even showing you clips of it, I'm going to show you one, could do it justice. You should watch it in its entirety, the emotion, the message of it. And you can obviously see why Charlie fell in love with her, right? I remember meeting Erica. We were at, Charlie and I were in New York for something, one or another, and he was falling for her hard, but he wanted to play it cool. So he's like, come meet her at Del Frisco's in New York City. And I came there and she was just lovely. She was genuinely such a nice person. And I was like, Charlie, just go for it. Just go for it. And he did go for it. And last night, I really do think that the entire world needed to hear her message. What you took from it, how you could apply it to your life is up to you. But specifically, the part that she shared that provided me with so much peace, and I needed to hear it truly, was when she explained that Charlie did not suffer, because that, thinking about that is, I really shed so many tears over it. Just thinking that he suffered even for a moment, it was my favorite part of her speech. So I'm going to play that right now.
One moment Charlie was doing what he loved, arguing and debating on campus, fighting for the gospel. In front of a big crowd, and then he blinked, and saw his Savior in paradise. And all the heavenly mysteries were revealed to him.
I mean, that, it's just beautiful, you know, to really think about that, that he just blinked and then he was with the Lord. And it is just a fact that, I mean, Charlie just loved the Lord. It was constantly, like I told you, going through the conversations and how much he would just say, I need to pray about it, wanting to marry Erica. First thing he said, which I think I showed you guys last week. And Erica's correct. It is important to remember that message of forgiveness that we have within ourselves. And it sometimes feels very hard to do that, but we are called upon to forgive people, to forgive our enemies, even in moments that it seems impossible or extraordinary to do so. But it is also important, it's not really a but I want to assert that it is also important to remember that what Christ is, as I said at the top of this show, is truth, right? Christ is truth. And we are not getting the truth right now of what happened to Charlie Kirk on 9/10. And to be very clear, I am going to need it. I demand it. In fact, I'm now currently working on a minute-by-minute timeline, which I will have for you guys later this week, of what exactly happened in the seconds and minutes following Charlie getting shot. I need to know. I need to follow bodies. I've already been able to, as I asked over the weekend, locate George Zinn in the crowd. It seems a bit suspicious to me how far he was, and then suddenly they take him through a pathway. I mean, that's him right there. Thank you to the person that sent this picture. But then I find him on video and I'm trying to understand how he made it down the pathway and was taken through to the same area that they had just taken Charlie in the car. I have a lot of questions and each and every one of them will be answered by the end of this investigation. And I also want to put it to you this way. So much more has come to light that I have not yet presented. I am working with other journalists, different aspects, asking them, hey, you look into this, I'm going to look into that. And the first thing that I think I should make abundantly clear is I am relieved that Erica Kirk is at the head of Turning Point USA. Because just like I alluded to last week, and which I will double down on now, I believe that people within that company betrayed Charlie. Okay, that's just what I believe right now. And I want to make sure that I have these facts entirely on my side before I tell you guys more. I will say, if you are a rat on a ship, you should probably flee now. I recommend it. Anyways, you guys, on Friday, we did an episode. I want to be clear, I didn't think that that episode was going to have the reaction that it did, but I am grateful. We were unpacking the footage that was going viral of the guy that was taking down the camera, which was directly behind Charlie's head, a mere approximate 4 minutes after Charlie was shot. Everybody thought that it was very suspicious. I recognized the individual and reached out, had a conversation, saw the footage, and made the promise that I was not going to share it. Although I said to you, I encouraged them to share it. I believe that the reason everybody is a conspiracy theorist is because people don't share truth, right? Once you share everything, there's no room for conspiracy. And when I was sharing what I saw, I was doing so because I was just thinking that, you know, this could help. Like, this can obviously remove people from their conspiracies. And then it kind of occurred to me that what I shared was a bigger deal than I had imagined by saying that I didn't see any blood. And that is a fact. I did not see any blood. In fact, the only blood that I did see at all, I'm talking about blood on the back, was on Charlie's hand, on Charlie's left hand, which, as many people have been saying, means that the blood moved forward. We don't need to get into all of the gore. But what I didn't expect thereafter was for the Turning Point USA spokesperson, Andrew Colvett, to issue this statement as people were asking questions like, hey, how is that possible? How was there nothing in the back if this is the gun that was used? Andrew Colvett tweeted this over the weekend. I want to address some of the discussion about the lack of an exit wound with Charlie. I'm usually not interested in delving into most of this kind of online chatter, and I apologize that this is somewhat graphic, but in this case, the fact that there wasn't an exit wound is probably another miracle, and I want people to know. I just spoke with the surgeon who worked on Charlie in the hospital. He said the bullet, quote, absolutely should have gone through, which is very, very normal for a high-powered, high-velocity round. I've seen wounds from this caliber many times, and they always just go through everything. This would have taken a moose or two down, an elk, etc. End quote. And then, now this is Andrew. But it didn't go through. Charlie's body stopped it. I mentioned to his doctor that there were dozens of staff, students, and special guests standing directly behind Charlie on the other side of the tent, and he replied, it was an absolute miracle that someone else didn't get killed. His bone, referring to Charlie, was so healthy and the density was so, so impressive that he's like the Man of Steel. It should have just gone through and through. It likely would have killed those standing behind him too. In the end, the coroner did find the bullet just beneath the skin. Even in death, Charlie managed to save the lives of those around him. Remarkable and miraculous. End statement. Now, First, I want to say this because people were attacking Andrew Colvett immediately. I want to say that it is good to remember that this is Andrew Colvett's literal job, okay? He is a PR agent. He runs a PR company, and his job is to respond to online chatter and online questions. And sometimes it may not even be what you want to say. In fact, it should never actually, if you're good at your job, be necessarily what you want to say. He also was very close to Charlie. So I would imagine that he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. The company is moving into a different direction. We are still just over a week after Charlie lost his life. And he has to be the messenger. Who is directing that message? We don't know, but his job can't be easy at this moment, okay? If I say to my PR agent, I want you to make this statement, he works for the company, my PR person just has to make the statement, okay? So I think I would like to just respond to what is being said objectively rather than to attack Andrew Colvett's character. That aside, the statement objectively feels to me like the manipulation of a Christian audience, right? They know Charlie's audience is Christian. And therefore, what they're selling to us is you should believe. You're a believer, right? As a Christian, you believe in miracles, right? Like, you believe in Christ and the miracles that Jesus performed, right? Well, then you should just believe this. There's something about that I don't like. I don't like that. This was a miracle and that should just be the end and no more questions should be asked. Yes, the conservative base is filled with Christians, but also the conservative base is filled with a lot of hunters, okay? People that hunt and they know weapons and they know how weapons work and they know how weapons don't work. And this particular statement to me does not pass the sniff test. Now, again, when I shared that information, I had assumed they were going to say, the angle went through this. I did not imagine they were just going to say that it was a miracle. Alex Jones immediately took to X Live. This began trending. The statement began trending, and he jumped onto X, and he responded to that statement saying this. Take a listen.
The spokesperson for TPUSA just posted 2 hours ago that they talked to the coroner and that Charlie Kirk was shot with a 30-06 in the left side of his neck, the carotid artery, and that he's a man of steel, and that the bones in his neck that are like chicken bones stopped a bullet that travels 2,500 feet a second out of the barrel at 200 yards, depending on the grain of the cartridge and the rest of it. Probably hit him at 1,900 feet per second. I've shot hogs at 500 yards, 30-06, right to the side. Tiny hole blows a 4-inch hole out to the other side. We're talking through 2 feet of a hog. Boom. Hit him in the head, brain completely blows out. They just said he got shot with a 30-06 and that it didn't go through.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot to process. And here's the thing. If you were going to bring me to the argument that this truly was a miracle, it probably would not be in the midst of a circumstance where the feds are lying, right? That is like not now, right? Because it could be a miracle also that Tyler Robinson decided to take a break at Dairy Queen and issue some texts that sound like they were written in 1822 and tell every single, it could just be a miracle, right, for the feds and go through every single detail of exactly how he planned it, why he planned it, including his MAGA dad, who's been extra MAGA lately that he doesn't actually live with and nobody knows why the dad is extra MAGA lately and explaining where to find the weapon and just a miracle that he happened to leave this letter that has since been disappeared. But his lover took a picture of it. It could just all be one big federal miracle. But I'm not inclined to believe that at this moment. Okay. I'm not inclined to believe any of this at this moment. And so we press on. Okay. And because Alex And many other people and hunters and conservatives were going, yeah, no. I mean, people were even posting videos of them shooting to show what that damage would be like. Cash Patel then made an extraordinary move. And I would say I would refer to this as a capitulation to online sleuths. He tweeted this. He wrote, as the director of the FBI, I am committed to ensuring the investigation into Charlie Kirk's assassination is thorough and exhaustive, pursuing every lead to its conclusion. The full weight of America's law enforcement agencies are actively following the evidence that has emerged, but our efforts extend beyond initial findings. We are examining every facet of this assassination. We are meticulously investigating theories and questions, including the location from where the shot was taken, the possibility of accomplices, the text message confession and related conversations, Discord chats, the angle of the shot and bullet impact, how the weapon was transported, hand gestures observed as potential signals near Charlie at the time of his assassination, and visitors to the alleged shooter's residence in the hours and the days leading up to September 10th, 2025. Some details are known today, while others are still being pursued to ensure every possibility is considered. Our primary focus is to complete this investigation and deliver justice. To protect the integrity of the investigation and subsequent prosecution, we cannot release every piece of information that we have to the public right now. We will ensure every question is addressed at the appropriate moment regarding specific details, such as questions about the plane that allegedly turned off its transponder after departing from an airport near the assassination site. We can share updates when answers are confirmed. After interviews with the pilot and consultation with the FAA, we determined the transponder was not turned off. Incomplete flight data in rural areas caused the apparent gap. The entire FBI mourns the loss of Charlie Kirk. We will not rest until justice is served and our investigation into this assassination will continue until every question is answered. Okay, so first thing that I can very quickly debunk is when he says that they looked into the transponder thing and yeah, we checked it out and actually they just lost service. Okay, that disputes what the plane owner themselves, he identified himself, Derek Maxfield, and issued a long statement on Instagram where he said that they got permission to, you know, turn off services, which are transponder services, and they got that permission from the air traffic controller. So it can't be both. It can't be, no, it never happened, they just lost service, and Derek Maxfield saying, no, we had communication with the ATC, which is air traffic control, and what we did followed guidelines. So that's already a problem. Secondly, saying that you're not going to release information because you want to protect the integrity of the investigation while also releasing those ridiculous text messages that looked like somebody was having fun on TikTok and making, you know, a ridiculous skit. I don't feel like the investigation has much integrity or the feds in general have any integrity after you guys gaslit us about Jeffrey Epstein, okay? So if you want us to, or if you want to restore credibility to the feds, I would allow the mommy sleuths to take over. That's my opinion. I'd get in touch and allow the internet to do what the internet does, because now you're answering everything that we brought up. Not me, we. Because it is because of the entire world paying attention, sending tips. I'm grateful to God that I have a platform to be able to share that information and to encourage it. But this is just coming from regular people around the world. And now you guys are, it feels like playing defense because you have not been playing offense. So yeah, that would be my free advice that's not going to be listened to. But while I have your attention, I do have a few more questions that could be answered, or maybe some leads that you guys could be exploring, if you will, because once we began learning about that house next door that's been vacant and is owned by UVU, and once we began looking into the witnesses and finding a common last name and looking into Caldera Engineering, as we did last week, again, not implying that they did anything wrong, just telling you factually that witness whose footage ended up in the hands of TMZ runs an engineering company that has a presence worldwide, and they specialize in making these valves. I started thinking once people told me that valves historically have a connection to the government and the deep state, about how important those valves were to warfare, because if you just want to shut down someone's pipeline, let's say you want to shut off water, or you want to shut off gasoline, yeah, it makes sense why the government would want to be controlling pipelines and valves. But anyways, I started to ask myself, oh, well, did anybody look into whether or not there was anything under Charlie Kirk when he was shot, right? Because if we aren't accepting the narrative that that particular gun at that distance didn't pass through, and yet for whatever reason the Fed scrambled to repave that area, maybe, as some people have speculated, he was shot from a closer distance. I started wondering, was there an access point to any valves? Were there any pipelines that could have been under Charlie? And as it turns out, I looked at some old pictures of where he was sitting, and there was a massive pipeline that was almost exactly behind where Charlie was sitting. Here's that maybe it's a water pipeline. I don't know, but there it is under the flag. And to your right, I went into my tips line, and I saw that somebody had messaged me about this. More than one person messaged me about this. They're like, hey, yeah, there's like a whole underground thing there. And to your right, you're observing those two little boxes. And they told me that that was a trap door. Now, I'm not implying someone, you know, popped up and shot Charlie, but that's a close up of that area. I'm just implying that there's an entire underground there. And I remember when I looked at the footage, I felt like it was coming up. I don't know anything about ballistics. I'm not an expert. But if there was a hatch door nearby, then we can assume, as we should always assume with colleges, obviously stadiums, there's always an underground path. So I'm wondering if the federal government has explored the possibility that somebody could have been under Charlie and done that. While everyone's looking around and thinking that a shot went off from here, if that was just maybe like decoy number two, and actually Charlie was shot from beneath him, which then could maybe explain why there was no exit wound. Again, I'm theorizing because I have a right to. I have a right to think. And that is interesting to me. Where does it go? Where do the tunnels underneath UVU lead to, right? That's an interesting question. Maybe everyone's looking up when we should be looking below, right? Maybe we should be looking below if there is this interest in pipelines. And I saw that actually where he was sitting, there's a whole irrigation system that's managed by the university. And so there's definitively stuff beneath Charlie. Again, I don't know anything about ballistics, but I've been very clear that we will be exploring every lead until we get a proper answer for what happened. And I think that that would probably be an interesting one for the feds to explore, because within 48 hours, I mean, was it 48 hours, Skylar? They decided to instead pave that area, repave it. Do we have footage of that? Here we go. Yeah, no, they kind of did the opposite here. They paved it. And I feel like that was a little soon. So I don't know if things can be unpaid. I'm sure they can, but maybe exploring a tunnel network would be a good start. And I will leave it at that before we get into the absurd. I didn't think it could be more absurd than last week in the manners that I have been attacked. But over the weekend, somebody reported me to the FBI and the CIA. And I'm not going to prison alone. I'm taking all of you guys. First, let me tell you guys about Preborn. Because I've watched too many people who I'm close to be vilified for standing up for truth. I have felt the sting of injustice myself, but I've also felt something else, which is courage. I think everybody right now is feeling courage. And I don't want to be playing defense. I don't want to water down what I believe in to be palatable. Not that I've ever been accused of doing that. But it is true that silence is not kindness. Silence is consent. And right now, the greatest silence that is being had right now is around the lives that are ended before they even take their first breath. If we're going to call ourselves defenders of life, then we should act like it. That's why I'm asking you to join me to fight back with action, with truth, with love. For just $28, you can provide a free ultrasound to a woman that is in a crisis and considering an abortion. $28 will help her see the life inside of her, to give her the truth that we know that our current culture will not. So don't sit this out. Don't wait for permission. Be bold, be clear, be unapologetically pro-life. Go to preborn.org/Candace right now. you give $28, or you can give 10 times that if you can. This is the line that we absolutely must hold. We have to stand on it. We must stand for truth and what is right. We can save lives from abortion, and we can stand firm in the gospel. Again, that is preborn.org/Candace to provide an ultrasound for just $28. Also going to tell you guys about Just Thrive. You guys know I love them. The biggest health secret is not talked about is that everything starts in our gut. Every single thing starts in our gut. Every day, your gut is fighting a silent war against processed foods, work stress, the toxins that are in the air that you breathe. When your gut is in trouble, your whole body will feel it. Most probiotics don't work. 99% of the traditional brands die in your stomach acid before they even reach your gut. That's what makes Just Thrive's spore-based probiotic completely different. Just Thrive is the only probiotic that is clinically proven to arrive 100% alive in your gut. It does not, which means it does something that most other probiotics cannot. It turns your gut into an antioxidant factory, creating protective compounds exactly where you need them most, which means better digestion, healthy immunity, more energy, and easy weight management. You can take Just Thrive probiotic in the form of a capsule or berry-flavored gummy. From their award-winning probiotic to their full line of gut, immune, and brain health supplements, Just Thrive has been fighting to make Americans healthy again with science-backed solutions that you can trust. To join the gut health revolution and take control of your health today, visit justthrive.com and save 20% with promo code Candace. See the difference for yourself or get a full product refund, no questions asked. Take control today with Just Thrive. That's justthrivehealth.com with promo code Candace. Okay. The attacks against me from APAC citizens or Zionists are now bordering on the hysterical. I mean, last week was insane. I got to the point where I just Kanye shrugged. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to say. But this was just so funny, I had to share it. I have been meaningfully reported to the FBI and the CIA, and I want to be very clear, you guys are all complicit. Just this weekend, this is real. A real live tweet came from Laura Loomer, our resident psycho. She tweeted this. She's been attacking me nonstop. As part of her grift to monetize the murder of her quote-unquote best friend, Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens is selling a CIA line of merchandise that is called the Candace Intelligence Agency, which rips off the CIA name and logo. It is a federal felony to use the CIA seal without license. She then cites the code and sends a quote from it, pulls it, and then says, "You are likely breaking the law with your CIA merch, Candace. The CIA can technically sue to get Candace to stop using their logo. It's really disrespectful to Charlie Kirk and the CIA." And then she CCs and tags the director of the CIA. Now, as everybody who watches this show knows, we've been selling that merch since before Charlie got assassinated. So we just continued our show with the merch that we already sold for our show. Obviously, our parody off of the CIA, which is perfectly legal, obviously, was related to the fact that we're always investigating things. So don't let the truth get into your way when you're spearing somebody. But the audacity to actually tag the director of the CIA and ask us to go to prison or to get into trouble is just, I think it really highlights they're insane. It is just insanity. It is reaching new levels. I love the guy who then tweeted under her. This was so good. He just said, "Look at Amazon committing all of these quote unquote federal felonies." And then he says, "F Israel first, Laura Loomer," as just a little side note, and that he shows all the t-shirts on Amazon because, like, obviously you can buy yourself an FBI costume for Halloween if you'd like to. But that wasn't enough because last week was that insane. Like, they just tried to wipe away years of my life by pretending, completely fictionalized, that Charlie and I had a breakup, right? Eric Bolling did this. He said, I don't know if he was even sober on that program because he said he hadn't seen me. This is Eric Bolling since 2015. He interviewed me in 2020. So that was weird. But they were clearly, the call went out to just make up something that never happened. Never happened. I never had a falling out with Charlie Kirk. And so this guy, Awesome Jew, who I heard was also in the Hamptons with Bill Ackman and that group of people who went out there, he then tries to cleverly release a text message between Charlie Kirk and an unknown individual. The text message has no date. It has no time. And I'm going to tell you why that is. And I'm going to tell you exactly when that text message had to have occurred. But him releasing this tweet spectacularly backfired. The goal, of course, was to prove that Charlie and Candace had a falling out. Look at this message. Charlie's talking trash about Candace, except he's not at all. Instead, what the message did is that it proved exactly what I was saying, that donors and Zionists were attempting to control his speech, my speech, and who he platformed. So these are the text messages that he shared, and he wrote exclusive. A close friend of Charlie Kirk shared these messages. I'm going to guess it's either Seth Dillon or Josh Hammer. It could not be, but I'm just putting that out there because of the style of the messages. And he says he was never wavering on Israel, and they are active. He was actively pushing back on Candace Owens' false narrative. Now, these are the messages he shared. This is the friend of Charlie in blue. He writes, I watched the podcast. Candace needs to say two things and this will stop in its tracks. They are fundamental conservative principles. And she didn't say either. Quote, Israel is not committing a genocide. Second quote, 30 dead, raped, kidnapped, and beheaded Americans in Gaza makes the fight in Gaza America first. And then he ends it by saying, this is not Ukraine. He's literally saying what I have to say to make something stop in its tracks. Right. And then Charlie writes, this is right. I'm really trying to help her. What else is he going to say to this person? And then, but it's that second message that I can tell you exactly what the context was, because I was messaging Charlie about it. And I can tell you the time frame and why they wiped it is because it's from 2023. He then writes, it doesn't come natural to her because I truly think she doesn't understand. Saying that Muslims are forced to live in a Muslim quarter in Israel, and that betrays the timeline. Okay. So what clearly happened in this text chain is that I tweeted, this is when it all started for me, and I started getting threats that I had to take it back if I wanted my life back. And he's kind of saying that there, right? This will all stop. I tweeted that genocide is always wrong. Here's the exact tweet. No government anywhere has a right to commit a genocide ever. There is no justification for a genocide. I can't believe this even needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state. That tweet was me responding to something that Brian Mast said in Congress. He said, there's no such thing as an innocent Palestinian life. That was grotesque. So I then started getting peer pressured to correct the tweet, to apologize for the tweet. At the time, I was at the Daily Wire, that I needed to understand why my tweet was wrong. Dave Rubin instantly replied and said something about Israel, even though I didn't mention Israel in the tweet. And by itself, it was, I still stand by that tweet, guys, years on. And I was being inundated. Charlie was being inundated. Like, how could she say this? How dare she say this thing? This is so wrong. And then I hosted somebody who was a Zionist on my show. And that's what he's referring to, the conversation that I had with Ami Kozak. And clearly, Charlie probably said to him, you can watch this to get her viewpoints. Candace is not anti-Semitic. And that guy is not having it. He is incensed. And he is saying, here are the words that we have to hear from Candace. The reason they stripped that and didn't put the date that it was 2023 is because then it destroys the narrative that they're trying to put out that me and Charlie stopped, had a falling out, because obviously I went on tour with Charlie at the beginning of 2024 and I spoke at their conference in the summer of 2024. And, you know, don't let the facts get in the way of this bizarre narrative that Charlie and I had some falling out last year, which never happened. Rather, what happened was Charlie was peer pressured by these same individuals that I, you know, for me not to speak at AmFest. And I was just like, dude, I don't even care, which is what I told you. Now, in terms of his statement there that Charlie's viewpoints were not changing at all, these are not words that I put in Charlie's mouth. You can just go back and watch the things that he was saying. He hosted a sit down, which was incredible, actually, to discuss what anti-Semitism is and what anti-Semitism is not. It was a town hall of sorts with students. Gen Z, as Megyn Kelly said, you can't find anybody beneath the age of 30 that supports Israel. That's a fact. And Charlie was trying to communicate that their tactics, just like you see in that text message, was hurting their cause. People are tired of it. We're tired of being bullied. For me, they behaved like a mafia. There's no other way to say it. My livelihood was being threatened. And then eventually, obviously, I lost my job behind the scenes, telling me what I had to say if I wanted to, I don't know, still be welcomed into the circle. And I made a conscious decision to not be welcomed into. I don't want to be around people that are behaving like that, that are speaking like the way that person is speaking. Here's what she needs to say. Who are you? I don't need to say anything. My statement was fine. Genocide is always wrong, okay? It's just always wrong. and you're not going to convince me that I've done something wrong. They wanted me to apologize. I was being told I needed to issue a public statement to apologize for the tweet that I just read to you. Genocide is always wrong. Wackadoodle. Anyways, let's hear Charlie Kirk in his own words. This is from July of this year. He was hosting that town hall about anti-Semitism. Skyler, let's first run the clip of just before we get into the AIPAC clip, just him discussing with Gen Z anti-Semitism. Take a listen.
You're not anti-Israel. You don't wish them harm. You're not, you know, like cheering on Iran.
No, I support Israel. I think they're our ally. I want them.
Called an anti-Semite by some people for saying this.
And I think that's ridiculous. I don't hate Jews because I think a nation should defend themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
I feel like it's becoming like the word racism. Like, we just disagree with them, so we just have to call them a name. Exactly. I don't think they're actually anti-Semitic. I think people just can't agree with them, and they can't prove them wrong, so they just throw a word out and be like, you're anti-Semitic because you think that we should stop sending our money there.
Something that I see amongst the people I'm around, I do see more, like, general disdain towards, I mean, just being honest, Jewish people.
That's correct.
Just because they're constantly being told that you hate Jews. And it's like, fine. If you're going to say I hate Jews over and over and over again, like, if I'm going to be convicted of the crime, I might as well do the crime. I fear the same thing happens with all the talk of race. The more we talk about it, the more we bring it up, the more racism actually happens.
This is, like, I try to tell, thank you for saying this, like, because, like, this is, I try to tell these people, and they're like, we must get more aggressive. And so, like, let me ask a question. If we were to say, if we were to remove, like, if people said what Tucker said is anti-Semitic, mm-hmm. I don't hold that view. But it's, like, a lot of people on Twitter are, like, calling us out and, like, whatever. That's not going to happen. But if we were to cancel Tucker, would anti-Semitism increase or decrease?
I think increase, because that means any supporter of Tucker Carlson's statement therefore makes them anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Exactly. Yo, association, mm-hmm. 100%.
Exactly.
But the binary that's presented is that if you don't passionately talk about it, you are a hater. Yes. That's probably destructive for everybody involved. So for me, I'm trying to find this new path, which is, I love Israel. I visited there. My wife and I had the best experiences ever. I saw where Jesus rose from the dead and he walked on water. But also, I'm an American and I represent a generation that can't afford anything, and that we are, like, flooded with illegals and no one speaks English and our hospitals are clogged. I think we need to have the prudence to reject the Jew hate. Like, okay, we're not going to put up with that. That's dumb. But also, if you call everyone an anti-Semite, if they don't take a puritanical view of the Netanyahu government, then I think it's bad for everybody.
Again, that's him in his own words, just a little over a month before he lost his life. So I don't understand them. I don't know what they're trying to win here. And then he takes it a step further. They talk about a no-go zone. You imagine he's got these donors, they're threatening him. And here is what he had to say when they were discussing AIPAC. Take a listen.
How many of you guys think when a lawmaker and a man I respect like Ted Cruz uses the Bible to justify aid to Israel, doesn't even know the verse, do you guys think that's, like, not the best way to approach this? Raise your hand. Okay.
I think Ted Cruz used Genesis 12:3. I think a lot of people see that as off-putting when you look at the New Testament.
Why?
Because I think a lot of people, they look especially at the writings of Paul, where he talks about how the new flesh is not the same as the people in the old covenant. The new flesh is everybody, is everyone's included.
You're talking about Romans 9?
Yes.
9:6,
yeah.
Are you Catholic?
Converting to Catholic from Judaism.
I can tell.
This is my next.
Oh, from Judaism?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you're Jew. You're ethnically Jewish.
Ethnically Jewish, yes.
And you have concerns about AIPAC.
Yes, I do.
I'm told that by some people, mm-hmm. that if I criticize AIPAC, I'm anti-Semitic.
I think it's ridiculous, yeah. I feel like it's great to have a concern for your country.
Do you think that that AIPAC represents, again, I'm not saying I believe this, but I think this is what you're saying, that it represents a kind of cutting in line of prioritization away from the American people?
Yes.
Would you guys say that's a fair summary?
100%.
Meaning that, like, okay, we vote, we're citizens, but a separate group gets higher priority because of whatever reasons. You look like you want to chime in.
That the entirety of the idea of a PAC is to represent a group, but the fact that we're allowing a group that doesn't even represent American interests to influence the people who are supposed to be representing us, I have a huge problem with. And that's why I've said this before, and a lot of people don't like when I say it. I actually think there's probably like 20 representatives between Senate and House who I think are actually fully doing the work of the American people and don't have the interests of some group pulling their sway.
But when you hear that lots of other countries also mm-hmm. are lobbying, do you think, I mean, that you probably don't know the names of those countries, but it's happening. Does that upset you equally, or is AIPAC just get all the press because it's so top of mind?
If those other ones are doing the same thing, of course. I do not think that other countries should be telling us how to spend, you know, the telling our representatives and people who are here to represent all of us that they should be focusing outside of the United States.
America first.
Thank you.
You know, there once was a president who started talking about that, suggesting that the precursor to AIPAC, which became AIPAC, should register under FARA. And he ended up getting shot in a moving vehicle in broad daylight with the whole world watching. So that's a dangerous conversation to be hosting, is what I want to say. It's a very dangerous conversation to be hosting. It is incredible that he is, in his own words, 6 weeks ago, and they're just lying. To that young ethnically Jewish kid who said he was converted to Catholicism, amazing. If the spirit of what he was saying, if he was the leader and was the spokesperson in the political realm for the Jewish people, they would go a lot further. They would go a lot further. Instead, they're making enemies everywhere. And as they make enemies, they then gaslight, they call their friends in the press, they call you names, and they keep doing more of the thing that made them lose an entire generation of people. Charlie was trying to help them. He was trying to help them. As you can see, as he said, I tell them, who's he talking about? When he said that, I keep telling them this. Who is he speaking about? Listen to Charlie in his own words. It's ridiculous to pretend like I am saying something that you cannot verify, that Megyn Kelly's lying, that Tucker Carlson is lying. And it is very difficult to not see, as I do, that what I went through in the beginning of 2024 seems to be what Charlie was going through in 2025, which is getting really tired of the pressure of people telling you something that you're doing is wrong or saying is wrong when it so clearly is not. It's almost like they try to make you think you're in a psychosis, right? It's a level of gaslighting you've never seen before. It's like, how could you say, what did you mean when you said genocide is always wrong? I can help you. I'm your friend, Candace. Don't you see why you should say sorry for that tweet? I know, I look back at text messages. I know other Jewish people, you know, they love you, but they were hurt. You know, they saw your tweet and they just said, what happened to Candace? They said it brought tears to their eyes. And I held the line. I said, I'm not apologizing. If me saying genocide is always wrong brought tears to their eyes, then these people are demons. Like, what? Like, excuse me? So that's my opinion. And I'm sticking to it. And I also just want to say that Tucker Carlson was amazing at last night as well. I know he's catching a lot of flack, but what his message was very important. He shared the story of Christ and that these people who plot and lie and, you know, censor and pass laws, all it ever does inevitably is the exact opposite of what they're hoping that it does. And that really is the lesson of the Lord. That is the lesson of all of the plots failing. And here is a clip of what Tucker Carlson had to say last night.
The main thing about Charlie and his message, he was bringing the gospel to the country. He was doing the thing that the people in charge hate most, which is calling for them to repent. So how is Charlie's message different? And Charlie was a political person who was deeply interested in coalition building and in getting the right people in office because he knew that vast improvements are possible politically, but he also knew that politics is not the final answer. It can't answer the deepest questions, actually. That the only real solution is Jesus. And the reason, it's really simple. Politics, at its core, is a process of critiquing other people and getting them to change. Christianity, the gospel message, the message of Jesus, begins with repentance. Christianity calls upon you to change. core prayer given to us by Jesus, the Lord's Prayer.
How long is it?
Demands that we forgive other people, but preceding that is a request for our forgiveness. In other words, forgive us our sins, meditate on what we've done wrong, how we've fallen short, and then it becomes possible to forgive other people.
Fantastic.
That is a call to change our hearts from Jesus, and that is the only way forward.
Couldn't agree more, and I will say this, like, I am on this journey to figure out what happened on that day. I'm not going to stop unless Erica Kirk asks me to stop, as I have said, or my husband asks me to stop, because truth matters. And I think it is amazing that Erica found it in her heart to forgive, but it is also my belief that there are more people involved that are in need of forgiveness. Okay. Like I said, a lot more of it I have found out, and I want to be really methodical about releasing information, but this one, they chose the wrong person. They chose the wrong person to take out. Anyways, you guys, before I get to some of your comments, by the way, I think I went off air on Friday and didn't read comments from last week. So I'm going to read some of those and then get into this. Obviously, you guys already know, send me tips at CandiceOwens.com if you have any more information that you'd like to share with me. First, I want to tell you guys about Niemi Skincare, because I know a lot of you guys ask me what I use to keep my skin looking healthy and glowing. And the answer is simple. It is Niemi Skincare. It's a part of my daily routine, also my nightly routine. If your skin is starting to show signs of aging, like fine lines creeping in, your skin is starting to sag a bit, or it's tired or uneven, or you feel like you're just kind of losing that youthful glow, then you should definitely try Niemi's anti-aging skincare line. Their products have worked wonders on me. Niemi's three-step anti-aging routine is packed with powerful, clinically backed ingredients that work. This routine restores your skin barrier. It boosts collagen production. It reduces fine lines and wrinkles. It locks in moisture and brightens for a healthy glow. And here's what I love the most. Not only do the products deliver results, but Niemi is proudly American-made. Every formula is crafted right here in the USA, rivaling the best Korean skincare brands in quality while staying true to our values of faith, family, and freedom. Right now, Niemi is giving my listeners 15% off your order if you use the code CANDICE15 at checkout. But this offer ends soon, so do not wait. Go to NiemiSkincare.com today. Stock up on the three-step anti-aging routine and see the results for yourself. Support a brand that shares our values and take care of your skin at the same time. Visit NiemiSkincare.com and use code CANDICE15. Also remind you guys about American financing, because the cost of everything is still out of control. Many of us are relying on credit cards to cover essentials. If that debt is piling up, then you are not alone. Americans collectively owe over $1 trillion in credit card debt. You might have considered reaching out to my friends in American financing, but maybe hesitated to do so because you don't want to give up your low mortgage rate. Well, there's good news. They've created the Smart Equity Loan, which is a solution designed to help you take control of your finances without touching your current mortgage. Unlike a HELOC, which can have varied interest rates, the Smart Equity Loan offers fixed rate, which means one predictable monthly payment, giving you peace of mind. This loan allows you to leverage the equity in your home to pay off high interest debt, free up your cash flow, and keep your existing low mortgage rate intact. It only takes a 10-minute phone call to get started. There's no upfront or hidden fees. So call American Financing and start saving now. The number is 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. That's AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. Okay, some comments from Friday's episode that I didn't get to. I'm sorry about that. OU Chris writes, Christ is King. May he guide you, be with you, and keep you safe. You know what? That message was even more appropriate now. Manuela Palacio writes, Candace, is Jack Posobiec trustworthy? I find it odd that a Navy intelligence officer, that the people closest to you betray you often for their own interests. It happened to Jesus. Also, the children that spoke yesterday, she is referring to the children who witnessed the assassination of Charlie Kirk and spoke out about that on the news the next morning on Good Morning America. Also, the children that spoke yesterday sounded highly rehearsed on their quote-unquote experience. Okay, so to the first portion, I can tell you that I know Jack Posobiec. He has always been very solid with me. I mean, always. And Jack Posobiec, by the way, every single time that I have been attacked publicly, particularly over the declaration that Christ is King, it's like a trigger for Jack Posobiec. He goes hard in the paint. If you say you can't say Christ is King, Jack Posobiec wants to go to war immediately, him and his brother. And that's great. So he's like a crusader. And if he was part of some intelligence program that was not allowing any critique of Zionism or whatever it is, He would have definitely made an enemy of me pretty early on. People, you know, really went mask down when I said Crisis King. Post me being fired from the Daily Wire, he completely held the line. I've met his wife. She's absolutely lovely. So I do know that he was a naval intelligence officer. He's never denied that. And I, if he is an intelligence officer that is still active, then I got to tell you, he's good. I like Jack. I like Jack. And I can only tell you my experience with people. If I uncover something about him, then I'm going to come for his whole life. But I like Jack. Corey Henry writes, and I will say this, I've known him from the beginning of my career, and he has always been solid and supportive. And so I don't know. I just don't see it. Corey Henry writes, love you. I wish I could give you more. Christ is King. Are you kidding me? That's a huge donation. Guys, you guys have been unbelievable. And I'm very grateful to all of you guys. I really am. Like, it's just, we've had an incredible year with you guys. And I know many of you guys are just finding my content and are new. Go watch the Becoming Brigitte series. I think a lot of people have been hooked on that. It's a really good one. And she's a dude. That's it. Marta writes, Christ is King. I love that that is the repeat comment. Thank you, Marta. Devin Nola writes, you are a super sleuth. Thanks for all that you do. Israel has the most to lose from Charlie turning away from them. At this point, I'm waiting for something or someone to prove me wrong on this theory. I get that, what you're saying. I will say this. I would argue that in terms of the free markets, like, you go with your product, you say, I'm pro-Israel, I'm running this business, they are losing badly. Badly. There's no question about that. Everyone can see it everywhere. And it's because of how they behave, right? The gaslighting, the threats, the intimidation. We can control your life. We can call and we'll create a firestorm so you won't be able to hit the stage at AmFest. People can see that and they don't like that behavior. So when you do that and then also say that you're the good guys, it doesn't ring true. Now, they definitively have lost the most because clearly people did not buy BB's BS. And people, the fact that people immediately thought that, and I wasn't the person who said this, but immediately thought that Israel was suspicious really shows you that they have lost all goodwill with the American people. And that's, again, because of what they're doing, their actions in Gaza. So I would agree with you that they've lost a lot since losing Charlie, because he was kind of the last person who said, I am pro-Israel. And he actually was somebody who had a presence across all of these universities. And now, you know, we'll see what happens with the direction that Turning Point takes. But I would say that the students are going to be very reticent to support Israel. Bree writes, how did the rifle get from the roof to the woods? Please help please help this make sense. Grateful for you, Candace. Keep up the great work. Bree, again, that's from last week. Nobody knows, but I would like to see the tunnel network. Hey, I don't know how you do that. There's probably some radar you can buy to see where the tunnels are. You're just a student on the campus. If it's legal, obviously, I have no idea if it's legal. Do not do anything illegal. I don't know if you can just buy. All I know is the laser stuff that I use to see if there's a stud in the wall, and that's perfectly legal. I don't know if you can buy radar to look underneath. As you guys could see, I am. I was never going to be an engineer in life. Clearly, I was never going to be an engineer in life, but I do know a little bit about plumbing. My dad was a plumber. And I know that there's got to be a whole network under there if they're supporting a waterfall in that amphitheater style. It's like a whole thing. They have a whole thing on their website on UVU about how the irrigation is maintained and who's in charge of it. And I would like people to look into that. Enough said. All right, let's get into some comments from today. Marzi, thank you for that donation. Marzi writes, dark forces want us to fight amongst each other. We need to come together and fight this evil. Yes, we did this left and right. You know, forcing the FBI's hand and saying, okay, maybe these messages didn't happen. Marzi continues, Netanyahu is using Charlie's death to distract us from the ongoing genocide in Gaza. I would say if that was his plan, it ain't working. This person writes, the internet is back in Palestine and people are speaking out. Yep. And I have been somebody that has spoken out and it came at great risk. And I am very happy that I did. I have no regrets. I was happy to be canceled from anything to say what I felt in my heart to be true. And that is also the story, the lesson of the story of Christ. You know, you have to tell the truth. You have to accept the punishment. And Christ will get you through it. And Christ got my family through last year. There's no question. Hurricane Ian writes, oh, hurricane, but spelled hurricane. What happened to the screwdriver? They said they found it on the roof, even though you don't use a screwdriver to take that rifle apart. No way. I didn't even realize that. Sorry if you've talked about this. I have not. I don't think so. I've watched all your videos, been meaning to ask you. I just haven't been able to catch you live. I didn't know that. I did not know that you don't even use a screwdriver to take that apart. They're doing their best, okay? They're doing their best to come up with a story that works, and none of them do. Whitney writes, something about Dr. Frank Turek isn't sitting right with me. Unsure if he's having some unfounded guilt about not doing more, and that's making him seem suspicious or whatnot, but I cannot shake the unsettling feeling in my gut regarding him. God bless and protect you. Yeah, I mean, I thought his speech was not the direction that I would have gone on had I have been invited to speak. I am not saying, yeah, to like, he's guilty about something, but I am saying that like a lot of people had that feeling having watched his speech. And of course, I think he was a Marine in the past before. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about that. He gave the speech that he wanted to give, and nothing in my research has come up about thus far has come about Frank Turek. So I'm just reading your comment there. Wasn't the direction again that I would have taken, but I wasn't invited to speak. And as the Daily Mail pointed out, I raged about that. I freaked out and threw everything, threw my toys out of the pram. Payne Revere writes, why didn't the local police department treat it like it was a crime scene? Two, on what basis is the FBI involved? That's a good point. Three, intel recruits heavily from the LDS. That is a fact. Latter-day Saints, Church of Latter-day Saints. And apparently they recruit from that particular campus, which I found out, which is interesting. Again, we'll get into all that this week. Four, Tyler looks like a Fed, like Timothy McVeigh. Five, Flechette. Yeah, I think we're looking for a totally different weapon. That's where I'm at. Six, Kibono. Seven, it's telling if they make him a memorial like JFK. Look, I think by the time we're done investigating this, we're going to have a lot of questions about who had the audacity to honor him last night. I think so. I'm just feeling it. If I had to make a guess, that would be my guess. Working for Aliens Rights, I have been a victim of predators and creeps all my life in Canada. The evil, rich, elite perverts run the world, and they are too powerful. The only person who can protect me from them is God. When I go to heaven, God bless everyone. Heaven will save us. Indeed. Rosa Marie Martinez writes, on the Charlie Kirk show last week, Andrew said someone powerful called Erica and asked how much she knows, and she said, I know everything. If that wasn't relevant, Andrew wouldn't have said it. What does it mean? I think she knows everything. She's his wife. What is a wife? Everything she said on stage yesterday, a confidant, every secret that the world is not meant to know about Charlie Kirk. She knows about Charlie Kirk. Who was stressing him out? Why did you lay your head next to your wife or your husband? My husband knows everything there is to know about me. And so, yeah, there's no question that she knows everything. I saw people that were going, Erica Kirk is going on, I think, Alex Clark's show. And they were tweeting it at me. I think it was Laura Loomer. She's totally wacky. Oh, you'll see what? I don't lie for this reason, okay? I don't lie about anything. So I'm happy she's going to speak about the rumors that BBNet and Yahoo offer him a boatload of money. I didn't say $150 million was offered because I don't know the exact amount BB offered him. I said $150 million I was told BB gave for Operation Mocking Pastor. Remember when all the pastors one weekend got up on stage and were like, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens? That is what I was told, that was $150 million went into that. But I definitively made the statement that Bibi Netanyahu offered Charlie Kirk a boatload of money and he rejected it. So she will respond to that. I said that Catholics were excited, hopeful about Charlie. I don't know why that caused so much people to be upset. Like, what is wrong? Like, we are Christians. We should be, no matter what, defending one another. He obviously didn't convert, but also the nastiness towards Catholics just needs to stop, point blank. I mean, Erica Kirk was raised in a Catholic family, so that was a strange thing to have people react so crazy. I don't lie, because I always know that eventually daylight comes in and things get exposed. And so I'm excited to hear her speak about the pressure that he was under, as was alluded to by Alex Clark, to speak about whether or not he was offered more money, whether he lost money, which he did. I was told that individual was Bob Shulman, as I said last week, that took away millions of dollars from Turning Point, wanted his name taken off the building, and then changed his mind, did a 180 when Charlie died. I mean, there was more than just him, obviously, but he was getting pressure from donors. I mean, I think he said it on a show. So yeah, that is, daylight is always the best disinfectant. Anyways, you guys, thank you for all the support. We're going to have an incredible week, more stuff to reveal to you. If you want to support the show, if you want to go to prison, you can go to CandaceOwens.com and buy a CIA parody shirt, because you're going with me. I'm not going alone. I'll do it. I'll do hood rat stuff, but I want to do it with my friends. So if you buy it, then I'm going to report you to Laura Loomer, who will report you to the CIA. And I'll see you guys in prison tomorrow.